Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I remember learning this phrase when I was just a young child. And for a young child who is still growing and understanding things in the world, you know, for kids, some things are kind of trivial, like words, like being picked on and things like that. And so I understand how in some instances this phrase certainly does apply. However, as we grow and learn, we discover that this phrase isn't completely true. I mean, sticks and stones certainly can hurt us in our physical bodies. But pain that is caused by words is very real too. Speaking an unkind word to someone could break them emotionally, right? Being mean unnecessarily could destroy someone's idea of their own self-worth. Or worse yet, if someone speaks a false word, they could potentially lead someone away from faith in the Lord. Words can and do hurt, and words have great power. In fact, I would contend that sometimes words actually hurt more than sticks and stones. I mean, reflect on your own life for a minute. There are certainly things that we've all said that we have then regretted. There are certainly words that we have spoken that have ruined one sort of relationship or at least besmirched it in some way. We hurt people's feelings, sometimes without even realizing it. And most of the time when we hurt people's feelings, it is entirely unnecessary. Words sometimes cost us more than we expect. And words are easily spoken. The problem, though, is that once you speak any kind of word, whatever word it is, you cannot take it back. You can go and apologize, and you can say to somebody that I take it back, but you can never actually take it back. You can't erase those words from hitting someone's eardrum. Our text explains, though, that to tame your tongue, to actually manage what you say well, is very, very difficult. Our text, I'll read it for you one more time. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. And so here we have James comparing our tongues to these very small things. Because if we're very honest with ourselves, words are small. We use thousands of words every single day. They roll off our tongue so easily. But do we have control of them? Do we use those words wisely? I mean, we all know from our own country, right? You look out into the Western United States, both last year and this year, it's just one spark or one little accident sets acres and acres of forests on fire. The tongue has great power. In fact, it's one of the most powerful things in the whole world. As such, we should treat it with great respect. We should think before we speak, because we know the damage that can be accomplished. In this way, the Eighth Commandment has a lot to do with the tongue. Right, we remember the Eighth Commandment. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. What does this mean? Well, that we should fear and love God so that we speak well of our neighbor, right? We don't want to destroy their reputation, but we want to build them up. Do we put the best construction on everybody around us? I don't know. I mean, sometimes, certainly. But at other times, we're much more keen to tear down, to destroy. And so how well have you tamed your own tongue? Are you careful about glorifying God with the things that you say? Would God be proud to look down and see how your tongue has been used in your life? Or have you let it run wild with sin? And maybe even more applicable to our own current culture is that most of us now don't just have a physical tongue, we have a digital one, an online tongue. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, email, text message, whatever else, whatever you use to communicate. We all have this ability to convince ourselves that since we're not sitting face to face with someone, that we somehow get permission to say whatever we want. Does that lift up? Does that build up? Or is what we're doing on the internet and through our communications digitally, does it tear our neighbor down? Do we use the means by which God has given us in technology to continue to proclaim the gospel with our digital tongue? Or do we use it for selfish purposes? Sticks and stones may break my bones, and digital words hurt too. You look in the internet, it doesn't take long. Most of what people communicate there, it's not good. Not at all. So what does it mean for us, dear Christians? For those of us who have not used our tongue in any of the proper ways, or certainly not in the ways that God has commanded, well, it's time for us to repent. It's time for us to recognize that sometimes our idle words and our hurtful words, they have slipped over our lips and they have caused great damage. Now is the time to make use of the self-control that God grants us in daily bread. Now is the time to silence unrighteousness. The unrighteousness that is in our hearts and the unrighteousness that rolls over our tongue. Now is the time to tame our tongues. And to do this, we need God's help. If we're going to use our tongues properly, we need someone who does not stumble in what he says. We need a perfect man who is able also to bridle his whole body. We need Jesus. The beginning of taming our tongues comes first from hearing what comes across Jesus' tongue. You remember some of these occasions through Scripture when Jesus is being tempted by Satan and Satan tells him, just bow down and worship me, right? Use your tongue to glorify someone who is not God. And what does Jesus fight back with? He confesses Scripture back to Satan. He uses God's word to overcome the temptations of the devil. And thereby he uses his tongue perfectly. Jesus, he goes off, and what does he do? But he goes on a mountain and he preaches what is called the Sermon on the Mount, proclaiming to his disciples, proclaiming to the people who are gathered there, how best to live their lives in a God-pleasing way, confessing how he himself was living his life. And don't think this, you know, this taming the tongue thing, don't think it means that you can't speak something that's going to be unpopular. Don't think that it means that you always have to be nice, because that's not the case either. What did Jesus do with the Pharisees? What do we see him telling them over and over again? That they're condemned, that their faith is misplaced, that they're not worshiping God the way that they should. Jesus wasn't afraid to use his tongue to call the Pharisees to repentance, to point out their sin. It wasn't because he was trying to be mean. No, it was a loving effort to finally break them out of their unbelief and into faith. And of course, at the culmination of it all, Jesus uses his tongue perfectly also. Jesus goes to the cross. And even yet before that, while he is still on trial, they ask him, "Are you the Son of God?" And he confesses rightly that he is. After being beaten and whipped, and as the blood is pouring from his body as he hangs on the tree, he opens his mouth again, and what does he say? "Father, forgive them." It goes on a little longer, and right before Jesus gives up his spirit, he says that salvation is accomplished. Jesus uses his tongue perfectly. And he still does. You might remember that Old Testament text we read also this morning. But it started with these words, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary." These words are spoken about Jesus. Jesus, with his tongue, he sustains the weary. Because he speaks his word into your ears. Are you weary and burdened by the sins of your own tongue? Maybe you're weary and burdened by the tongue of other people who have sinned against you. And you know what Jesus speaks? Forgiveness. You are forgiven. Because Jesus has taken the sins of the world on the cross. That's your sin, it's my sin, it's the sins of the whole world. He has washed it away. He has made you his child. And it means that now you are something different. Now you have a new life. Now you have a new tongue. And in just a few moments, your tongue will do something else. It's going to receive what Jesus continues to give to you. Your tongue will receive the very body and blood of Christ. And when his holiness touches your tongue, you will become holy. That's how the Lord strengthens you. That's how he equips you. That's how he uses his tongue to make you clean. My friends, the tongue truly is a powerful thing. Our tongues have the ability to tear down and destroy. But they also have the ability and the power to build up and strengthen. And so since you have now received Christ this day, since you have heard a proclamation of your forgiveness and what Christ has done for you, let's set ourselves to use our tongues for God's glory, to lift up his name in our lives and in the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your tongues in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.